It's March the 12th, 2025. I am at Joel Pearl or thejoelpearl.com on Blue Sky, and it's time to get in the weeds. I'm solo for now. Jeremy Lambert's going to be joining us in due time. He's just running a little bit behind this morning. It happens. But you know what? I'm here. I said I would be. I'm always here. I live here. I'm not Tuesdays and Thursdays. Don't ask me about Tuesdays and Thursdays. Tuesdays are a very sacred day in my house. It's my day off. My day off sucked, by the way. I had lots of plans. The weather was beautiful. I didn't get a lot done. But that's the way it goes some days. Some days are better than others. Jeremy Lambert is here. He has arrived. He's ready to go. Hello, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm only a minute late, right? We start this show at 10:15?
We started at 10:16.
Oh, okay.
You all right there, pal?
Gotta be honest with everybody. It's been a rough morning. It's been a long morning. It's been a rough morning. I don't feel great. I have not slept well in probably like 2 weeks. My cat threw up everywhere. I'm just tired. Just very tired. How are you?
You sound tired. I'm sorry, buddy.
I'm so tired.
We got to find you a ringer for the show.
I'm good. I can make it through this show.
I hope so. I mean, as long as you don't collapse on us.
I just want to go back to bed.
That's the next thing you do.
Yeah.
After you finish this. After you write about Stephanie's places on ESPN.
Is that out today?
Yeah, no, it's they've announced that the show debuts March 26th on ESPN. And
they already announced that.
Well, they put out the list of guests.
Oh.
Along with the air dates. So without giving you the air dates, it's once a week, so you can figure it out. March 26th, the debut episode, is Paul Triple H Levesque. Wonder why they would have him on. He hates being on TV. And yeah. CM Punk. I don't know why he would be on the show either.
That should be something.
Cody Rhodes is the next week. Rhea Ripley and Shawn Michaels on the 9th of April. Stone Cold Steve Austin on the 16th. Charlotte Flair on the 23rd of April. Roman Reigns in the Bloodline on the 30th. Pat McAfee on the 7th of May. Undertaker May 14. Triple H again solo May 21st. And John Cena May 28th. So there you go. Two episodes of Triple H. Man hates being on TV so much, but he'll come for two appearances for his wife.
He's got a long career, so I mean, I guess that makes sense.
He's going to come one time as Paul Levesque, and then the second time he'll come as Triple H. So the first time he'll be in a suit and tie, and he'll have his cheaters on, and he'll talk about how much he loves being a dad. He'll wear his cheaters like an old librarian, too, down at the edge of his nose. And then when he shows up on May 21st, he'll do the full transformation. He'll be wearing, you all right there? You going? There we go. He'll be wearing a long-haired wig. He'll be wearing his Triple H leather and denim coat. And that's how he's going to show up on that episode. It'll be great. Everyone will be happy, and Triple H will amaze the audience.
All right. Can't wait to see him in the wig. It should be an interesting little show. I don't know. We shall see how it's going to be. See, it seems like how long are the shows?
That's a good question, because in my brain they're 30 minutes. But then they have episodes with two people, and it's like, did you not find 30 minutes of content between these two people? Or
the two people one seems... Where are you seeing the two people one? Because I'm looking at it, and I don't see two people.
I'm on Awful Announcing.
Okay. I'm on like the actual press release. So you mentioned the first one. So it says the first one says the return of CM Punk. Stephanie McMahon visits her husband and Triple H at the new WWE headquarters before she heads to Cleveland for SummerSlam and meets up with CM Punk. That seems like it's going to be a short little thing. Yeah. And then it goes to CM Punk. And then I don't see another one where it has. Oh, I guess Rhea Ripley. Okay. So it says Stephanie visits the Performance Center where she meets up with Rhea Ripley and Shawn Michaels. That seems like it's more Rhea Ripley. Sean's just kind of there. So I still 30 minutes sounds about right. Cause the two people episode just seems like it's cameo appearances by the second people, not digging deep with them.
Yeah. Especially the Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. It's literally Roman being like, yeah, you can have me, but you also have to have my family. Again, I don't know why I go to that voice for Roman Reigns.
Your Keanu Reeves Roman Reigns is something else.
Well, he's just trying to be Mr. Cool. That's what Roman Reigns is. So he comes out and he wants his whole family to come. That way you don't have to put the camera on Roman Reigns too much while he's doing literally anything else. So that's nice. I mean, he always wants to elevate his family. And I guess this way you get like, maybe you'll get a new look at Jey Uso or Jimmy or maybe Jacob Fatu for 2 seconds. Why not? Solo for a half hour. Like, you saw me. Meet my cousin Solo. And then he just walks and you never see Roman again.
They're on like the yacht with Roman. I remember seeing that clip.
I'm going to go down to the deck, down to the hole. I'm going to take a nap. But Solo, tell him some jokes. Okay, bye. And then you never see Roman for the rest of the episode. He comes up at the end being like, oh, so what do you guys want to talk about? And then next week ends up being the Cody Rhodes episode. They just shifted around. It's Solo in the kitchen. I love it. Oh my God. Well, we'll see what. If they are longer than half hour episodes, I would one be surprised and be wonder how much stuff they're really trying to cram into these episodes. I think 30 minutes for something like this is perfect. It's they're puff pieces on friends and history between all these people and Stephanie. That's it.
Yeah, it should be fine. I'm sure I'll have to cover it and write about it and all that stuff.
Maybe they'll send you a screener of that first episode.
That would be awesome if I could get like early access to any of this stuff. I would very much appreciate that. You hear me, ESPN? Send me a screener. I won't embargo, release it early or anything. I just want to pre-write the story. That's all. That's all I want to do.
You're just trying to get ahead of work. That's what we do.
Yeah, that's all I want to do.
So Woo! You're gonna start on this day. That's all right. I think it's Control D.
What's Control D?
Oh no, you use a MacBook. If you hover over,
yeah, I usually click mute mic in time, but sometimes. So for those that don't know and wondering why I'm in this state that I am, besides many reasons, yeah, what's called bronchospasms. So like, they just hit me, and I just get these coughing fits, and I try to get on the mic, but sometimes I just get hit really quickly. And
you got the Dave Meltzer cough. Normally that's a winter thing, but Dave has it for like several months. I hope you don't have it for several months.
Oh, I had it for like a month last year. It sucked. It keeps me up at night. I've been sleeping so awful. Like I don't go to sleep till like 1, and then I get hit with like one of these spasms and I'm up at like 4. And then I'm just coughing my head off. And then it leads to a headache and body aches. You know, body just hurts from coughing so much.
Dude, I cracked a rib from coughing. I totally get it. It sucks. It's rough. It's not fun. Hopefully you don't suffer that same fate. Because the headaches are one thing. When you physically cannot sleep because of pain, that's the worst. So just, I was told deep breaths are a good sign to keep you going.
I have like a deep breath and then I just cough off that.
Yeah, the idea being that you can kind of start in it, not always deep breaths, but like as long as you can take a deep breath, you'll be okay. The doctors have come to ask, have you been given an inhaler?
Yeah, I have an inhaler. Yep, I have one of those. They gave me some, you know, strong cough medicine, which I don't feel has done anything for me. And then yeah, that's about it. But I do have an inhaler. I had a bad cough last year and I had an inhaler for that. So I don't know what it is, me and coughing. Not a fan of it.
You're a hardworking man. Sometimes your body breaks down because of it, pal. Yeah. Time to give that body a rest. But don't rest on us. Leave a thumbs up on the video if you haven't already. You got time for some pyro and some ballyhoo? Will they come? Give me the pyro. Coughing through the pyro. Let's go. Does it need to see your face while you're doing the thumbs up? That's some garbage. It does. It sucks. And also, you can subscribe to us here on the channel of Fightful Overbooked. And you can donate a super chat. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. Ryan Adams saying, Solo Sikoa finally sings the anthem. That's something I need to see him do. Oh man, where should we start? I mean, there is one more news piece that I do want to touch on, because we love love on this channel. We found out last night that Miro and CJ have renewed their vows. They're back together. Rusev and Lana, number one. That's some nice news dropping last night. Hopefully, this is a nice reconciliation for them, and then they are happy. So it's good. It's TMZ first reported it, and of course, everyone else picked it up afterwards. But some nice news coming out of the Miro CJ story camp.
It is good for them.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
So I'm laughing through your page because I woke up yesterday at 5:30 in the morning and I went to bed just after midnight. So I was in your shoes yesterday, but I didn't have a show to do. I was dealing with other stuff, but that sucks. I'm sorry, pal.
Get on them. They love love. As all CJ posted, like her grandfather passed away, and like a week before he passed, like Miro took him out and they had a nice time and everything. So it seems like, you know, they split, and it was like a while ago, but I guess they kind of rekindled things sometime last year. So good on them. You know, we do love love on this channel. So we love that they're back together.
This has, of course, renewed people's feelings that if Miro has a chance to go back to WWE, do we think Lana, CJ, would be behind? To me, that's the tandem. That is the grouping. Miro and CJ in AEW was something that they tried to do, obviously playing off of Lana and Rusev coming from WWE. If those two are thinking of coming back, I mean, it's nice to know that there's much less hostility than there was a year ago, let's say. But maybe there's a possibility that we see Rusev and Lana back to it.
Sure. And until Miro's wrestled one time over the past year, and CJ doesn't seem like she's had too much interest in doing anything. So until that happens, my stance has not really changed on them. Like, cool if it happens, not giving it too much thought beyond that.
I was going to say something like, well, if you see a big tank driving around Las Vegas in April, then maybe that's a hint. But then I remembered the state of the universe and I said, oh, it could be other things too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's where we are today. Anyway, we got another super chat before we dive into the NXT stuff. Ryan Adams asking, you would think Rhea and Bianca would have a little more respect for Io in storyline. She's pinned them both to win championships, even Rhea twice. This is a good take. It's twofold. One, the respect needs to be there. Rhea and Bianca on Monday did little sister Io until she stepped in and slapped both women in the face and basically demanded respect. At the same time, Rhea's pissed at Bianca for just being out there, and she has decided to pin Bianca as the reason she lost the Women's World Championship. So all these things exist in a bubble. And then Bianca's problem right now is both internal and external. It's internal to Raw because she's going after the Women's World title. It's external because she's dealing with the stuff with Naomi and Jade. So for her, she's all jumbled up too. Io almost takes a back seat to the start of the story because she was the beneficiary of winning the Women's World Championship on Monday. She's going to reinsert herself into the story. But last night, or I should say Monday night, the story was Rhea's pissed at Bianca for costing her the championship that Rhea really cost herself. That was my take on it. I know you and SP3 touched on it as well. I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
I just didn't like that they completely undercut, you know, the backstage thing they did with Rhea. I guess maybe she had a week of reflection and was more angry at Bianca and less angry at herself. But I was like, why even shoot that video if you're not even going to go there with this story, and it's just going to be Rhea having a bunch of anger towards Bianca. But yeah, otherwise, like, I like this segment because Io just squared up to both of them before slapping them in the face. There was no surprise slap there. She looked both of them in the eyes and said, I'm about to slap you right now, and then fucking slapped them. Good on Io.
And Matthew Hook's adding, you know, your champion should never feel like a third wheel. I don't think Io is going to feel like a third wheel for more than this past Monday. I think the idea was she got a shock victory. The idea that people were going with was Rhea and Bianca, and then Io surprised everyone. So she got put in the back seat for 1 minute. Now everything's going to turn on its head because Io reasserted herself and reinserted herself to the story. I don't think it buried Io. I don't think it made her look bad. I think if anything, you had to reposition the story to make her add that emotional investment. And they will bring up that she's beaten both women. They will do that. At least that's my expectation. But other than that, the story was Rhea and Bianca. That's how it started.
My cat is being annoying.
I could hear it. It's kind of meow screeching.
All the damage she has caused with her vomit this morning.
What did she eat?
Who knows what she ate? She just eats stuff. Fur balls. Yeah, thank you. My lovely wife has brought me tea.
What's that woman?
Is this show over? Can I go back to bed?
I mean, you can. I can go solo for the next 2 hours. I don't mind. For the next hour and a half, maybe.
I'm here. The tea will help me. And then I'm going back to bed.
As you should. We got to cut it a little early today. We will. This is what you do. This is our budget.
We started late. Sorry, everybody. That's my bad. We're ending early. Sorry, everybody. That's my bad. I will take... My throat's... I can't even...
Yeah, he's having a rough go. We're going to let him cough it out while I fill the dead air. We're going to get back to it. We're going to level out. I know that. Do a call-in episode, Ryan's saying. You know, I could do a call-in episode. I'm going to let Jeremy here. I'm going to solo myself here. Did he just saw him pop up in the back. I'm soloing myself so that he doesn't give away the car technique. But I should go 5 days a week is what they're saying. I don't know if I should do 5 days this week. I don't know if I could. Jeremy, should I do 5 days this week just to make up for you? I'll do it just for you, pal. Although it's Wednesday, so really I'd just be going 4 days this week. But I can do if I need to. I do think you should get back to bed. If you look in the background for a minute, Jeremy basically became a small person and walked in front of the car. So it was very funny.
Is that what happened? I don't know what happens. So I went behind my desk. So I didn't know how that looks on screen. Oh, that's funny.
Like a small person behind very large cars. It was like Mario 64 when he goes into the pipes and they become big world, little world. Zeno, I was saying, put his tiny little body in the car, says the ITW anonymous general manager. But Kimmy wasn't here last week. I don't know what you're talking about. There was no Kimmy. Pay no attention to the woman in the hood.
And you know, people probably don't know, but Temptation Island has premiered on Netflix. Much rather just be in bed watching that than sleeping.
I get it. I totally understand that. My plan is to not go outside today because it's gotten gross out. Yesterday was beautiful. Today, not so much. We'll see. We'll talk more Raw cleanup stuff later. Just overarching stuff. Let's talk Roblox. I thought that the NXT show last night was really solid. I thought that the theater at MSG looked good. I always harken back to the SummerSlam 98 Lion's Den. But not every night is a Lion's Den match. They had the theater at MSG looking solid, looking packed. A lot of pals were there. And it all gets capped off with Stephanie Vicker winning both the NXT Women's Championship and her North American Championship. That was a little bit of a shock in that they already went, they've gone to this match. Stand and Deliver is up next. Alan Henley's trying to get a North American title shot. I'm starting to think that there's a possibility that Vicker just gives up the NXT North American Women's Championship and they do a multi-woman ladder match at Stand and Deliver at 10 a.m. in Vegas. But other than that, the match between her and Julia was really, really solid stuff. But it was mostly Vicker getting the offense in. It was a good match. As you collect yourself from the amazingness that was that particular matchup.
I was blown away by this match. Said I have no words for it. It's
7 stars from Jeremy Lambert.
No, it was, I thought the whole show was really good. You know, start to finish, nice 2-hour wrestling show. And Joel was happy, 2 hours less than an AEW pay-per-view.
All I'm saying is if you ditch the 0 hour, don't make it 90 minutes, and then you lob off a couple minutes on each of the matches or lob off a couple of matches, you'll be good. It's revisiting that for 2 seconds. You know, for really 2 seconds. I had some time to think about it. I think what it really is the Saturday versus Sunday. Starting a Sunday pay-per-view at 8 o'clock, and I understand it's the West Coast for this show, so it was a little more difficult. If that particular show started at 7 o'clock on a Sunday, I wouldn't have had that conversation. I wouldn't have been that annoyed. The Saturday show starting, because you have an extra day to make up for it, that's kind of where it was. If they had started at 7, again, not so easy on the West Coast, I think I would have enjoyed it more. And I just made the joke, Stand and Deliver is going to start at 10 a.m. in Vegas. Like, there are people who are going to be walking in like several mimosas deep, enjoying that show hungover as hell. So, like, I get it.
So you agree with the overall point that I was making on Monday when we had this quote-unquote argument of, yeah, I don't care that the show is 4 hours, but if you're doing it on a Sunday, start the show earlier. If you're doing on or do it on a Saturday or do it on a Saturday and start the show earlier. That's where WWE has it figured out. They do the shows on the Saturdays and they start the shows at 6 o'clock. It's great. It rules. You want to start? I can live with 7 as well on a Saturday. You want to do 4 hour shows? Do your 4 hour shows. The length of the show does not bother me. When you start it and what day it is on is the part that bothers me. I'm glad Joel admitted he was wrong. Everybody throw a hashtag Joel is wrong. But everyone throw a hashtag Joel admits he was wrong.
Hate you.
In the chat.
No. No. Okay, this I want to bring up real quick. Is it Ryan Lambert saying just have it at a brunch spot? So let me show you this photo. This was from 2019 when I went to Phoenix for the Royal Rumble. The morning of the Royal Rumble, we had these shirts made. There was a company that was doing a mimosa show. Like a morning mimosa show. We called it, the three of us that went together, Mimosa Mania. This is before I worked in any sort of wrestling coverage. The three of us went wearing these t-shirts to this like bottomless mimosa wrestling event. And we got hammered, capital H hammered. And the venue was across the street. Like this was across the street from this, from where the Royal Rumble was happening. Man, they need to do that for Stand and Deliver. When you walk in the building at Stand and Deliver, they need to be giving you a bottle of champagne and a bottle of orange juice and saying, live it up, pal. Enjoy NXT. And that's what you got to do. Mimosa Jones over here. It was very good.
Was it like a bottomless mimosas? Like,
yes.
Oh, okay.
God, we didn't even sit in the chairs. Like they had bleachers set up. No. It was me. A couple of people, shout out Party Hard Wrestling. I was with a lot of their people. They are fantastic Phoenix people. So it was us sitting at the bar where the wrestling show was happening, whereas the bleachers were like nearby but far enough. So we sat at the bar, just got absolutely just ram-a-dammed. It was great stuff.
I've been sent a screenshot of me in the cars. I feel like I can maneuver and like stand in the middle of them and be the I'd be the person who drops race. The flag. Yeah. But I see how I look in these cars here. Yeah, that's funny. All right. Mimosa. Mimosa probably sounds terrible for me right now, but whatever.
So That's really what I want to say about the AEW stuff. And I saw someone saying, don't watch the 0 hour. Don't worry, pal. I already don't. I'll watch the
important some people matches. Got to.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? But like, I'll watch the Big Boom AJ match because it's Big Boom AJ. And then I have to watch for storyline purposes the Jericho Gravity Bandito bullshit. So
we didn't talk about that for good reason. I mean, there's a lot to talk about on Monday. But the funniest thing about that was like Jericho does all this stuff to Gravity and then Bandito comes out and then, you know, they're looking menacing. It's like, oh, okay, sure. That was a segment. We'll see if it goes anywhere. And then the next segment's Big Boom, which ruled. But then Powerhouse Hobbs come out for that. Like, weren't you teaming with Bandito and, like, best friends with him a week ago? Why are you not coming out to help your friend and his friend who got demasked by Chris Jericho in the Learning Tree? He's like, ah, fuck, I got to go save Big Boom. Big Boom doesn't need any help. He could have taken all these guys. What are we doing here with the Powerhouse Hobbs?
I'm gonna give a hot take real quick. Ring of Honor would have a huge television contract if Big Boom AJ were its champion.
Oh, I agree. I think it should happen.
Tony pitches Ring of Honor to whatever station it is, and they say Chris Jericho is currently our champion, but if you give us this TV deal on the first episode live of Ring of Honor on X station, not X, that's a bad idea. Talk to the NWA about that. If you give us Ring of Honor on this station, on your station, the main event on the first episode, guaranteed to pop a rating, Big Boom AJ will defeat Chris Jericho for the Ring of Honor World Championship, and he will reign supreme with your brand at the top of the list. He'll wear your TV show logo. It'll be all over the internet. You will have no idea how much better it is with him on top. And then they'll be like, yeah, how much do we pay?
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.
He should win the ROH title. He should win the ROH peer title. He should win the ROH TV title. He should win the ROH six-man titles. He should
win all these. And his son, Big Justice. Yeah.
Yeah. He should win all of these titles. And yeah, he would do so much promotion. So much promotion for that company. He'd probably show up to TV and actually work some matches on TV as well. I think it says like they're under contract to AEW. I don't know what that contract entails. I guarantee Tony's gotten his money's worth out of it because, you know, we talked about it before it was announced of like, we know Big Boom, at least he says he's wrestling on this show. Why don't you have the match announced? Why isn't he doing promotion for this thing? They gave him a week promotion for that. Like you can double entendre that if you would like to, but they did that in a week promotion for that. It could have been so much bigger because Mansoor and Mason are very online. They could have done a bunch of stuff if they had a little bit longer to work with it. But Big Boom was at the Kings game. He was doing a bunch of radio spots. He was at the Lakers game. Like, he was doing everything he could to promote it. You give that guy like actual heads up on promoting the show, oh, he'll kill it. He'll absolutely kill it. Yeah, he should be the ROH champion, 100%.
That's the easiest money you can make. Tell him Big Boom AJ will be the champion. How long will he be champion? Guess what, television company with the contract? You get to choose. For the unprecedented first time, the television company will choose who their champion is. It's good.
I don't feel like that's happened before, hasn't it? Wasn't that like a WWE thing for a little while?
The Fox preferred certain things. Fox never outright said, this has to be your champion. There was never a time where they were like, the creative is going to be dependent on the contract we sign. Right. They had say in who they wanted to spotlight on their shows. Same thing with Netflix and the USA deal and all that. You know, there were certain assurances made that there would be a balance of star power between the shows.
You know what I'm thinking of? It's not necessarily the champions. It's just and this is very prevalent during the pandemic era. It's the, we got to have this stuff on our shows. Where, remember they had the Hell in a Cell match because like Fox was mad that,
oh, the cross promotion.
Yeah, there was like the Hell in a Cell match, so they just had to put a random one on TV because they did one on the pay-per-view or whatever. So that's what I'm thinking of. And then the I'm thinking of like the 24/7 gimmick where USA was like, what do we do to get ratings and everything? And they're like, oh, we'll bring the lights down and introduce this title here, and that'll get the numbers. Like that was apparently like a USA thing. So yeah, I'm thinking not necessarily they picked the champion, but they just had the influence over the show and who was on the show.
Yeah, like again, these channels, or not these channels, these broadcast partners, they can have a say in the room, but they don't have final say. Like they can they have pitches, but yeah,
they should have final say over ROH. Fuck it.
Yep, give it to them. It'll be ROH on, I don't know, I was gonna say CW, but you can't do that. ROH on, I don't know, name a station. Discovery.
Oh, Fox Sports. Well, let's go to the old Fox rumor. Let's go there. So, sure. ROH on Fox Sports 1, or I guess that still exists. I think they still have Fox Sports 1 and 2 and all that stuff. So ROH on Fox Sports. Fox knows wrestling, allegedly. So Fox Sports gets the booking control over ROH. What's the hot take show on Fox Sports nowadays? I'm completely out of that world. It's First Take's ESPN.
That's ESPN. Yeah.
It was like Chin and Sharp's gimmick. I don't know who's where at this point. Skip Bayless still with Fox? Is that how that works? Is he there? Whatever the hot take show is, let them book the promotion. Can you imagine like Skip Bayless booking
first things wrestling? First? Is that what it is?
First things first. Sure.
I don't know.
Imagine Skip Bayless booking wrestling, though. That would rule.
That seems awful.
That would be great. He wouldn't know what's. He would definitely put the title on Big Boom. He'd be like, hell yeah. He knows who Big Boom is.
The problem is, if you do Ring of Honor on PBS, RJ City's booking the whole promotion.
And that's not terrible.
Well, I mean, he's booked one or two very nice things in the past. That's true. But I don't know if you can do cinema in Ring of Honor. You're not allowed to. Unless it's Athena in the world championship.
That's not cinema. That's just like, hey, the title reign's continuing.
That's fair. There was supposed to be some poetic justice, but that didn't happen. So we still have Athena the champion. What's she up to? Who's she facing? Has she had any matches on the show, on the program? Again,
She defended the title a couple weeks ago against Catalina. Watch the product, Joel.
No, I refuse to watch the product because the product doesn't air when I can watch it. The product airs later on, and I'm not paying for that service. I'm just not. I charge Fightful enough for things that I watch. I don't need to start doing watch ROH, which we don't watch.
Fair.
I could start asking for other people's logins, but meh, I just can't be bothered.
I'm sure they'd share it. You just got to watch the product, Joel. It's okay. You'll be all right.
I read the spoilers, so I get an idea of what's going on, but it's not like there's a story I can point to when it comes to most Ring of Honor matches.
There's a lot of stories to point to with Ring of Honor. Angelico is back tomorrow night. Him and Serpentico, the Spanish Announce Project, they're back. There you go. Look at that, everybody. Go watch Ring of Honor. We'll watch Angelico's return. It's going to be great.
And I'm sure Ring of Honor will post the whole thing on their socials on Thursday night.
Well, sometimes they post the show. Sometimes they're like, oh, sorry, we forgot to upload the show this week.
Oops, there was a community basketball event. Forgot to press play.
That's always hilarious. It's like, you know a week in advance that this show's happening. What do you mean you didn't have this show? What's happening here?
Oh, that's my favorite bit. No Ring of Honor this week. We forgot to press play.
It's been a little while since they've done it, in fairness to them. So it's not like this is a weekly occurrence. And for a while, it would happen. It was happening like once a month. Like, what are you guys doing over there? What's going on with the old Ring of Honor? Oh, what a program.
This is actually a good point. And then we can talk about NXT stuff. King Potato saying, I ask again, why is no one talking about the biggest match of the year? Minoru Suzuki versus Butterbean with guest enforcer Dan Severn. There is respect for the pioneers. I will say that. This match got announced, what, like 2-3 nights ago? And the general feeling was like, nah, this is a Tom's custom job. Like, there is no way. I think that there is just an initial shock that needs to wear off. But also, like, it's WrestleMania weekend, or WrestleMania week, I should say. So, like, this match is happening amongst a sea of other matches. It's going to get its moment, but I think a lot of people are not seeing it because there's so much happening out there.
I don't know if Butterbean can move.
Like, well, you watch the video. Watch there. Now I can tell you to watch the product. Remember?
No, I know. I've seen it. Yeah. I've seen it. Like, he can, but like, can he? You know what I mean? Like, I know he can move, but can he move? I'm a little concerned about this whole thing. I guess he didn't have to move too much. I mean, he's got to throw that punch. And Butterbean's not like, I don't know what to expect from that. That's a, I guess just they're just going to hit each other, Suzuki and Butterbean, which fair.
Yeah, that's why Dan Severn's going to be there, King Potato says. That's exactly it. Like, Severn's going to get involved. By the way, this is happening. It's at the Mark Hitchcock Super Show, the WrestleCon Super Show. That's always a good show. That's one of the reasons why people aren't like, oh my God, you have to go out of your way to see this match. Because, like, people are going to be going out of their way to watch this show. This is just one of those matches on the show that you're like, holy shit. And it's going to be live on High Spots if you want to watch it there. But it's going to get out there. And Suzuki's going to be paid just fine. Don't you worry about him. Especially because it's the super show. This is a hell of a match. I love it.
That's always a good show. So it's Mania week, man. They always put together crazy stuff. How pissed is Janela that he didn't get this match, by the way? Janela puts together like the craziest stuff, and like, bless Joey, he's always getting, like, he's got like Suzuki against Matt Tremont, which is insane in its own right. But how pissed is he that he didn't get Suzuki and Butterbean? He's got to be looking at this and like, fuck, really?
Next time we talk to him, we got to ask him about this match and be like, did you pitch this? And then when he realized it couldn't happen on your show, it had to be moved to the Mark Hitchcock show. Like, what happened? And I'm sure he's going to say something like, no, I wanted to face Butterbean.
he probably did.
Yeah, of course.
Cole Radrick wanted to face Butterbean. You know, he said he wanted to take the Butterbean option, or the Butterbean punch. Like, all right, Cole. That's who I need to get on my side, clearly, is Butterbean.
Meanwhile, Cyclops is better than Wolverine, saying Suzuki can't choke a man when he has no neck.
They're just going to, like, hit each other really hard, you know?
They are.
But the thing is, like, I don't know if Butterbean can throw, like, a worked punch. Like, that's going to be the interesting thing. Is, like, is he going to be able to throw some type of worked punch here? Because he ain't used to... And Butterbean's not a wrestler. He's pro wrestling, but like, he's not a wrestler. You know, is he done on like a wrestling stuff fully?
Didn't he do MMA for a little bit?
Oh, he did MMA for a long ass time, man. Not a little bit. Like, yeah, he did MMA and boxing for a while.
Yeah, it's while he was dealing with like being like ginormously overweight. But he's had a couple of appearances in 2025.
Yeah. Wrestling?
The PWK Live and Let Die, Pro Wrestling King in South Bend, Indiana. So talk to Cole about this one. He was in a match against, where did I see this? He, a one man crew defeats Butterbean by DQ, and then it turns into a tag match. One man crew and Butterbean turn out, they defeat the Axis of Power, Axel Thorn and Jack Phoenix.
All right.
This was a show that happened March 1st, 2025.
Okay. Well, maybe. All right. Then maybe he's got a working punch in him. Suzuki's crazy though. Suzuki's like, you ain't gotta work shit, brother. Go ahead and let's go out there and let's hit each other. I don't feel like that's gonna end well for Suzuki. Just an absurd match. It rules.
It is absurd. Maybe we should get Butterbean on this show.
That'd be great if we get Butterbean on this show.
Let's take a look. Are his socials open? Let's find out. Eric Butterbean on Twitter. No, closed DMs.
I might. We have a, I don't know about mutual friend, but I might know somebody who can get us a contact.
You can message him on Facebook.
I never check Facebook.
Fair. He's going to be part of the Combat Icons signing at WrestleCon through Rick Bassman. And on that list of people, Don Fry, Josh Barnett, Dan Severn, Mark Kerr, and Butterbean. And then more people will be announced soon. Okay. Crazy. Anyway, I'd love to have Butterbean on the show. Maybe there's some time for that later.
I'll shoot a message. Let me see what I can do. You know what I just noticed? So this, I was re-looking at the Stephanie's Places thing. Oh, I'm going to pull this up. Hold on.
The press release?
Yeah. Hold on. All right. You ready for this, everybody?
Of course.
This is just the most. What are they doing to her?
Oh, yeah. They AI slash like did a. What's the. Oh, they cartoonified her.
Like, I don't feel like that's Stephanie McMahon's face.
Well, it is. It's just a recreation of it. Kind of missing stuff.
I'm looking at that and I'm just like, what is happening with this? AI's got to be stopped.
It does. Big waste of resources. Yeah, painted filter is a pretty good way to put it.
Whatever it is, I'm just like, what is happening here?
Yeah, it's strange. They have a trailer out too. I'm not going to watch that until later.
It's like a minute long. So anyway, I just noticed that and I'm like, what is it? It's caught me off guard. Like that's something.
It exists. Oh man. All right. Let's go back to NXT Roadblock. Yeah. So your thoughts, Stephanie Vacker captures the NXT Women's World Championship or the Women's Championship. And then also has the North American title still under her wraps. Again, thought it was a good match. Turned out to be more one-sided than expected, especially towards the finish. And Julia is the loser. Big old loser, that Julia.
Yeah, again, good match. I'm curious now of where it goes. Because now Vacker's got the two titles. The only other time we really saw this in NXT was with Keith Lee. And didn't Keith Lee just like vacate one of them? He's just like, anyway, right? Am I misremembering that? Like Keith Lee, they did the big double celebration. And then I feel like he just like gave up the North American title.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah. So I hope they don't do that. That would be nonsense. But I also I'm not sure if they're going to have Vacker wrestle twice at Stand and Deliver. That's what I pitched when this match was originally announced, is whoever the champion is, she just has to wrestle twice at Stand and Deliver is what it is. And maybe she loses the title before Stand and Deliver, so she doesn't have to wrestle twice and they can get two separate matches on there. I wouldn't feel great about, you know, pinning her in that scenario. Yeah, so maybe it's some type of triple threat match or some type of multi-woman match to where she loses it without losing it and is still NXT Women's Champion. It feels like every time they do like a two title thing, with the exception of Roman, because then but they merged it into one title with Roman and then they just created a separate title with him. But like when they have like two titles where they're not merging, it feels like they get that second title off pretty quick. And the only examples I have really off the top of my head are Keith Lee, where again he vacated, and Becky. Is when Becky won both titles, she won or she lost that first title very quickly. Like she held that first title for like a month, and then she held the Raw title for a year, and then she had to vacate because she was pregnant. But she lost the SmackDown title, right? Like pretty quickly, if I remember.
It was very quick. It was within 2 months. I think, was it Stomping Grounds or was it it was like 2 months after she won. She dropped the SmackDown title.
Yeah, so it feels like they get that set. They split it pretty quick after doing it. We'll see. what they decide to do with Vacker. But I would not expect she has a long reign with one of the titles. I mean, she just won the other title too. She won that like a month ago. So it's not like she's had either title for very long or anything, but I wouldn't expect her to have both of them for very long either. She should just hold both titles for a year. It'd be great.
And there are a lot of people have dropped those titles that they win. Like, they win the world title, then they drop the lesser title. And, you know, Cinder Nerd's mentioning Ultimate Warrior after WrestleMania dropping the Intercontinental Championship after he won the world championship. So, yeah, there is a precedent there that Vacker just might say the way other people should say it is, I won this world title. Now it's time for me to give other people the opportunity to hold gold, you know, in WWE. And she's a babyface, so it makes sense to do. She wants to be a fighting champion, but she also doesn't want to take away from the opportunities that other people hold. I think it's more likely because Fallon Henley's complaining, where's my title shot? Where's my title rematch? I think they're just going to do a 6-woman ladder match. And it could be as easy as Jada Parker, Fallon Henley, Lola Vice, Kalani Jordan, Izzy Dame, and I mean I want Thea Hale, but I don't know who else is there. There are plenty of women. That's the thing in NXT. Before you say Jordan Grace, I could see it just being Jordan Grace versus Stephanie Vacker for the women's championship, the NXT women's championship. But yeah, do a ladder match for the North American.
Yeah, Jordan and Vacker is that's for the big title right there. I mean, Jordan just beat Roxanne. Like, you don't come in and beat Roxanne and then, oh, I'm going after the women's North American title. Like, that's feels like she's got to step up to the women's championship. And that could be stand and deliver. A lot depends on Julia's status. You know, if Julia's around, I imagine she'll get some type of rematch and they'll work her in. But if Julia does need time off and isn't able to work stand and deliver, Jordan and Vacker seems like the match.
Yeah, that's where I would go to. And again, they've been giving a lot of these other women that I mentioned some sort of credence to wanting or deserving a title shot. So to put them all in a big cluster match makes sense. Give some of the newer upcoming talent a chance to shine. I would probably add Carmen Petrovic to one of those. But anyway, there's at least 6 women, maybe even 8, that could vie for the North American title and have like a crazy ass ladder match car crash to open up the show. And I'm sure we'd be great. Yeah, like people are saying, the NXT women's division is very deep. For a while, they were calling it the best division, and then they called it the deepest division. Now they're back to calling it the best division. Cora Jade's another one that could be, you know, getting a shot at championship. We'll see how Sacrifice goes. But yeah, there's enough on the table. But the match with Julianne Vacker was very well done. It was a great main event choice. The rest of the show kind of stood on its own and had lots of strong matches, not too much talking, and just the right amount of wrestling, in my opinion. I think a lot of people enjoyed the show.
Ethan Page and Javon Evans was really fantastic.
Yes.
That was a great street fight. Even though it didn't take place in the streets, still cowardly that they will not battle in the streets. I don't know why. I think it's missed opportunity and false advertising. Otherwise, that was a fantastic match. Like, Ethan Page is really good when he has these type of guys to work with. Page is good, like, just in general. But, you know, his best stuff in AEW was against Darby. His best stuff on the independent scene was against Darby. You just get these guys who are willing to throw themselves around. Ethan Page he's not like a power guy who you think of in that spot, who's going to like toss these dudes around, but he's a good base and is dastardly enough to do these things to the smaller kind of cruiserweight guys to where it looks that much more painful. And, you know, again, the Darby stuff was great in AEW and the independent scene. And I think the Javon Evans stuff has been fantastic so far, and with this match being kind of the peak of it.
I'm not a big fan of the way that Shawn Michaels has booked the baby faces lose a match and they come back and it's not over until I win. And that's kind of the way the story continues to be told. Eventually someone has to lose and just move on from it. They're doing it with Trick. They just did it with Javon. I get it that they're longer term stories that they're trying to tell, but having the baby faces, you know, suffer a loss and then they come back and say, no, it's not over yet. No, I need it again. It makes them look stupid in a way. I get they're trying to be fighting baby faces from underneath or whatever they're trying to do. But that story, I think, is time to put to rest. That being said, what they did with Javon and Ethan Page, I think was really well done. I think the matches have been fantastic, especially this one. And, you know, Ethan Page coming out and saying that Javon Evans is a top tier talent with a lot of upside. He clearly cares. He clearly cares about who else in NXT and beyond should be showcased. And for a guy like Ethan Page, who's been around for a long time and is still young himself, to be out here and helping talent and be complimentary of the people he's facing, that goes a long way. So the match was great. It was a lot of fun. They both worked their asses off. And then afterwards they did the beatdown with the NXT foursome. Here's the thing. I don't hate it. I think I'm starting to get annoyed with the presentation. They could have done without the music during the beatdown. I think the reveal, when they had the lights and the music to do the, oh, they're here, like, that doesn't bug me. When they turn off the lights, they should keep the lights off until they're on again, beating up whoever they're beating up in the ring. That's kind of where I go. Doing the flashy lights and the like, it's not a fight scene. It's not Mortal Kombat. It's not a beatdown. It's just like, well, it is a beatdown, but it's not a movie scene. Don't turn it into a movie scene. Just keep it simple. You got four guys. They're angry. They're up and coming. You got, from what I had seen, Shaquan Sugar, however he's going to pronounce his name in NXT, and Javon have a background from DPW. Yeah. So those two having some sort of, you know, working relationship between each other, that sounds fun. That sounds good. But they got to change the presentation with the beatdowns. That's my main concern when it comes to these four.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, it was something. The presentation, I've seen people call it, like, you know, Timu Shield, bootleg retribution, things like that. So, I understand.
Louis saying, why are they angry exactly? And I think that's a good question to ask. And that's something that they're going to have to establish when they finally pick up a microphone. Because at this point, it's getting a little silly. You know, they're here. What are they here for? Well, they've been here multiple times. They beat up multiple people. Maybe it's time to actually talk about why they're here. Dion Lennox is the only one that we know why he's annoyed, or at least have some sort of inkling as to why he's annoyed. And he just has to say it. People have been undercutting me. People have been looking past me. I am a star, and here's how I prove it. And if it's with these three guys, then guess what? You've got to show why these three guys should be by your side. The beatdowns will be one thing, but you can't slow burn too many beatdowns. Someone's saying, do production issues with Joel Pearl is a new Fightful show. I bring them up when I can. I do.
They do need to give, like, some actual background and reasoning with them, because we haven't gotten any of that. You know, they did mention the Dion Lennox. Sorry. They mentioned, like, that stuff, but that was one time and then that was it. You know, Oba came out. Like, I liked after the last show, Vengeance Day, when Oba came out and was like, oh, he called out these dudes. He's like, come on here and get your ass beat. And then Moose came out and he went into a different direction. And nobody else has, like, done anything about these dudes. Like, you think they've been attacking various people. Like, they attacked Fraxium at Vengeance Day as well. And they just went off and did nothing. It's like, shouldn't they care a little bit? No, shouldn't Ava be taking some precautionary measures or something?
They beat up Robert Stone too.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. They should, like, do something with it. And we haven't really seen anything so far. No.
I see that there's this Ricky Saints might be the real leader of the group. I don't know if I'm a fan of that. I think Ricky's really good when he's on his own, doing his own thing. We saw that last night with his little moment with Ethan Page and everything that went around. He was like, everyone's so angry here. Why is everyone so angry at this place? Yeah. I thought that was really good. But I don't see Ricky being a stable guy. I see him being on his own, at least for now, and let him be the guy, you know, who is a baby face. Let him be that baby face. That's why they keep him.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of where Ricky fits. Like, they kind of need some decent heels, though. Because, like, you got Ethan right now, and then everybody else feels a step below Ethan. And you can't go back to him in the title picture because we just saw it with him. So I don't think they're going to go back to that too quickly. Like, they got good baby faces. They got Oba. They got Javon. They got Trick. Like, right there, you've got a good three with you on your baby face side. Your heel side is Sean Spears, Wes Lee, who they won't really fully elevate to that spot, it doesn't seem. And Ethan, right? Am I missing people?
Eddie Thorpe is on the rise.
Yeah, they're putting some equity into Eddie Thorpe. That's true.
So, Lexus King is a champion, so there's something to that. I know it's that's the thing, is that he's just there. They could turn Tony D, but I don't know if people want to see that yet.
Yeah, Tony D, he's, as much as the gimmick is fantastic, he's capped with that gimmick. You're only gonna go but so far with that gimmick. So unless they do something, I don't think they're turning him anytime soon, because they just had him lose the title. And now, like, the family's got to kind of rebuild off of that. And the Culling, which is this new group, the Culling is kind of, they're going to be the top kind of heel group. That's the other thing, is like, you've got them as a top heel group. So one, we don't know the name to these other four guys. Like, what are they going to supersede the Culling? Which they probably should, because at least they're targeting top people. But they need something. They need to stand out more than just sort of beatdowns. Because they've attacked top people. So theoretically they're trying to make them a top group. It just feels like there hasn't been any more depth to it beyond these attacks.
Ah, that's fair. Ryan Adams adding in Thea is the leader of the beatdowns are because of a coffee rush.
That would rule.
I mean, I'm all about it. Thea Hale just being really, really upset and just being like, I need more coffee. Ah! And then she just beats up people. Censor boys. I'm looking at the roster, and it's a thin men's roster. We've been saying this. I don't even know who's next for Oba Femi at this point. I have to assume Trick is doing the stand and deliver match. I have to assume that he's gonna beat Eddie Thorpe next week in the underground match, and then he's gonna call out Oba, and they're gonna do finally the one-on-one match that people have been talking about happening at Stand and Delivers for almost a year now. But that's, you're doing babyface. I get it. Trick is doing a little bit of Shades of Gray, but it's more just like him adding layers to the depth of his story. But like, this is a match that stands on its own because it's two dudes that people like to see wrestle each other, and this will be the first time that Trick really has to deal with a big loss, I guess. And that's it for Trick, I guess. I don't know what else fits for Stand and Deliver.
It does feel like they're going to do Trick and Oba at Stand and Deliver. And then whoever loses should probably go up to the main roster at that point. Now, whether or not they got plans for him on the main roster, different story. But I didn't feel like they got anything left to do in NXT after they lose, so you could probably move them up to the main roster.
Oba defeats Moose in a match that ended up being pretty good. I know I was feeling a little bit uncertain because I know Moose works really well with smaller guys, but they ended up having a pretty good hoss fight. It was nice to see Moose and Oba tear each other up, made both men look good. To me, the outcome was never in doubt, especially once they announced the Hardys match. That's when I was like, oh, they're going to 50-50 TNA tonight. And that's exactly what they did. So, no, Moose and Oba was good. Now Moose moves on. He's got Jeff Hardy next on Friday. And Oba moves on to what we assume is going to be Trick Williams after the Underground match. Someone's got to face him in the meantime, right?
Not really, no.
It's fair. They could just do week after week of him talking.
I mean, there's a month until Stand and Deliver. That's plenty of time for this feud to go. I don't feel like you need to do another match. You do Trick Williams and Eddie Thorpe next week in the Underground. Trick wins. And then you go into the program with Oba and Trick, and you got 4 weeks to build that, which is plenty of time to build that. I mean, maybe they just get a match on an NXT show because, you know, they do matches still, allegedly. But I don't think you're looking at like any type of like meaty feud in the meantime.
Yeah. Have some talkie talk segments, do a contract signing, do 1 week one guy's up, 1 week the other guy's up. You already miss a week next week because you're doing the match. And then you're 3 weeks away. Okay, I'm gonna give credence to your argument because I also think you're right. So the 18th, they're gonna do the match, the Underground match. 25th, Trick calls out Oba for the world title or for the NXT title. The first April Fools, someone lays out one another. Then they have to tag team on the 8th. And then the 15th, they have to do a thing. And the
contract signing.
Yeah. And then the 19th is Stand and Deliver. So there you go. They'll do a tag match. They'll do a stand stall. They'll do a call out. Look at us. We just booked the entire month of feud for Trick Williams and Obafemi.
Nah, there you go. So no, I don't think you're going to see any type of meantime feud.
No detour. Meantime.
Yeah.
No detour, yeah. As he would. Yeah. Ryan's asking in the chat, do you think they do Bayley and Roxanne at Stand and Deliver or at WrestleMania? I think that's going to turn into more of a Stand and Deliver match, if anything else. WrestleMania, there's so many matches people are trying to put on a two-night Mania card when the last year they did two nights of seven matches, effectively. Like, they could even down to about seven matches per night. I don't know if this is a WrestleMania-esque match with Bayley and Roxanne. To me, it's like the night, but like it's a SmackDown on Friday before WrestleMania to hype it up. But other than that, and also they're both on Raw, aren't they? So I could just see it being one of those or a Stand and Deliver match, but you got to put some stakes on it. Calling it future versus the up and comer, whatever it is, the future versus the veteran. Can only do so much with that marketing for Bayley and Roxanne. It's a match people want to see, but I don't think it's a match you hang your hat on per se.
I think you can do it at Stand and Deliver, but will they is a different story because I don't know. Bayley, she sent out some tweets of, you know, she said, oh, so Roxanne just ran back to NXT. And then this is a very vague tweet, but you know, she said above and beyond just ain't good enough these days. But then she had some emojis there. So, you know, a relieved face, a squinting face, and then a smirking face. So like, who knows what that means? But it does feel like they're just going to drop things for right now without doing a singles match, which feels like a miss. Even if it's on Raw after Mania, even if it's on SmackDown before Mania, even if it's Stand and Deliver, feels like you should have just done that singles match. Like, it's right there in front of you. You did build it for weeks. You had Roxanne appear in the crowd the entire time, and then all you did was tag matches and the four-way match. Why wouldn't you do a singles match? You gave Roxanne the Bayley spot. I mean, the camera work on it sucked, but you gave her the hugger Bayley spot. Like, to not do anything with that, to not have a singles match out of that, feels like a big miss.
Yeah. You, someone's saying you could see Cora Jade versus Roxanne for the last NXT match for Roxanne at a Stand and Deliver. Problem is, you can't keep beating Roxanne on her way out, right? It kind of looks like that. I know they do. It's just, it's maybe time to start moving that around. But this with Bayley and Roxanne, it does feel like they kind of push things away. It's entirely possible that they saw Elimination Chamber as like the culmination of their feud, even though there were multiple women in the match. And we talked about how the Elimination Chamber set up a whole lot of opportunities for every single woman who was involved in the show in the match. And this was one of them. They could come back to it. They're going to go to Europe. They're going to be around the television show. So maybe they'll pick it up. Maybe it does become a WrestleMania match. Maybe it's a Raw after Mania match. Maybe, who knows? But honestly, even as a Raw after Mania match, if you can turn it into a much bigger, you know, much bigger match or a much bigger story, then I would hold off till then. Maybe it is Roxanne gets a little help, or maybe it's a number one contendership match, or maybe it's a new group debuts and Roxanne's the leader. I don't know. But that's kind of where I'm at, is that it's a very nebulous feud that's also non-existent at the same time.
They got to blow it off. They got to do a singles match at some point.
Right.
And I don't think dragging it out serves either one of them either. Like, if they have bigger plans, fine. I don't get a whole lot of faith that they got bigger plans.
Yeah. Speaking of Roxanne, she dropped to Jordynne Grace. Match was fine. Match was very good, actually. But again, not much of a expectation otherwise. But Jordynne Grace keeps rolling onto, I assume, title matches Stand and Deliver.
Yeah, I think that's probably where they're going to end up going. And that's a big match, Jordynne Grace and Stephanie Vecchier. So that'd be fun. It's not going to take a whole lot of work to get there. Jordynne Grace has won matches. Stephanie Vecchier is the champion. That's how you get there. It ain't rocket science sometimes.
Yeah, it's just two women. They have respect for each other, but they want to beat the shit out of each other. It's all about the title and supremacy in the women's division. Pretty straightforward match. Trichinoba, if that's where they go, again, that's another match that has a history behind it and has a feeling behind it. So I look forward to that. The Hardys came in, putting in the TNA tag titles on the line. They defended successfully against Fraxium. They suffered their first loss in possibly ever since winning the NXT tag titles. I think so. But regardless, tag titles were only NXT on the line, were only TNA on the line. But now the Hardys are talking about wanting a shot at the NXT tag titles. I'm wondering if that plays out anywhere. Maybe Stand and Deliver, or they do it in the next 4 weeks.
I think the Hardys wrestling at Stand and Deliver makes some sense. And this is where I think you got to get this new group in there. Because what's the point of them attacking Fraxium if you're not going anywhere with that? It feels like this is a nice little spot for them. If you could do like a three-way or something, like, it feels like you can do a triple threat match, triple threat tag match.
I could see that being a triple threat. I could also, I see the Hardys on the show because A, they're in town, and B, there's a lot of prestige in having the Hardys on the show, especially in a T-Mobile arena that they're going to try to sell out. It would be it would make sense. That being said, I'm still of the belief that Tyson and Tyreek are going to win.
Then maybe you do a four-way match then.
Let's go. But then you don't pin the champions necessarily.
It could be a four-way elimination match.
I guess we'll have to see. That's kind of where I'm at. But multi-tag team, that's kind of what they've been doing lately. For the bigger matches, getting into a multi-team matches.
Have they? Feels like they've done straight up singles matches lately.
Maybe I'm just thinking of the stupid tag team battle royal or the beatdowns.
Nah.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. It's totally what I'm thinking of. Oh, I don't know. The NXT tag division doesn't exist. It's just a bunch of men fighting over nothing. Fighting over the ability to wrestle. Will Chisholm sent a super chat saying Moose versus Oba was great. I think Stephanie will pull a Seth Rollins and defend both titles, not just let one go. Again, I'm of the belief that she's going to not do that and just drop one of the titles. Didn't Seth also drop one of the titles when he won the US and World? Or he dropped it to Cena pretty quickly in the US
Championship? Yeah, I don't remember how long his actual reign was. I'll look that up and see. Yeah, Seth was a good call on somebody who had two titles at the time. Seth has held, he held the US title for 28 days while he was also the world champion. So again, he won the title, he beat Cena in the title for title match at SummerSlam, and then he lost it to Cena at the next pay-per-view. So,
and faced Sting because he was complaining about double duty.
Yeah. So again, another example of when they do this two title thing, they don't do it for too long. That second belt gets dropped pretty quickly.
Yeah, so I don't really expect much. I don't really expect much in terms of defending the title if she does. And like, I don't really consider her much of I'm a fighting champion for everyone. I think she's more of a, everyone deserves an opportunity. I have an opportunity, so I'm going to give up this title to focus on being the women's champion. And that's that. And then they
don't do the dropping title stuff. Like, figure, do a multi-woman match, do something. But I don't like the, I'm going to know this title is beneath me. I'm going to drop it. And it's dumb. I don't like it.
Well, we'll see where it plays out. But that's kind of where I'm at. Again, going back over all the match with the Hardys and Fraxium was good. And I'm curious about the NXT tag division now. There are multiple teams that could step up. I'd like your idea now of doing a multi-team matchup. Or maybe they'll have some sort of, I don't know, tag team battle royal just to get a number one contender. Let's go back to that. But yeah, other than that, it was a good show. I was very pleasantly surprised that Roadblock delivered as much as it did. So good on NXT. They put on a good show, and the theater was the right spot for that because it's a different setting. They made it look good too. It was awkward to shoot because it wasn't. People were kind of mentioning that the theater it's a theater with a stage in front. And they were saying, oh, it's going to be hard to shoot around that. And I was like, well, no, it's going to be set up similar to the PC because at the PC, you never see the hard cam side. And the hard cam side is literally like a white wall with a bunch of coaches sitting around. You don't see that. Like, there's maybe one or two fans, but like there's nobody there. So they were already pretty used to that presentation. They just had a much deeper row of fans sitting behind them. It was good stuff, but I liked it.
I thought the venue looked great, and well, it seemed like it came off well. The crowd was into it all night, so I thought it was all good.
Yeah, it was really cool because I didn't know how they would do the entrances. That was the one thing I wasn't sure with the rampway or the entranceway. Them doing it on the floor, but also having it so that you shot the LEDs flush when they come out, but then they had the tilted screen so that people who were sitting in the back could actually see it, and they could also put on, you know, the Roadblock logo. It gave it a little more depth. I thought that again, production wise, they did a really good job of making it look pretty. So good for them. That was NXT Roadblock. That was a solid show, solid night. What's next? The night before though, MSG Raw. Were expectations too high on that show?
I think people got their expectations high because it's Madison Square Garden, and I'm not one of those people. I didn't even realize it was Madison Square Garden until like the day of, and I was like, oh yeah, okay, it's MSG, sure. Like, people just talk themselves into things meaning more because it's at a certain spot, and I don't talk myself into that. My expectations are always pretty low when it comes to this stuff. And I didn't think it mattered if it was MSG or Omaha, Nebraska. Like, I think you should put on your best show every single time. So yeah, I think people talk themselves into it because it was MSG. I didn't, and the show wasn't good. Could have been Omaha, Nebraska. It was Madison Square Garden until the last half hour, maybe 45 minutes. It wasn't that good of a show.
Shooting on Omaha, Nebraska over here.
Sorry, Omaha, Nebraska, Peyton Manning's favorite place.
Wow. Get some Omaha steaks and you might change your mind.
Maybe.
Yeah. Medium rare. Yeah. Some rub. Anyway, I largely agree with you. I only knew that they were at Madison Square Garden because I knew the Euro trip was coming up. And my jumping off point was that, oh, MSG is the last, you know, New York show before they jump across the pond for a month. So for me, I knew it was coming up, but it was never to me like, oh, it's Madison Square Garden, it's got to be a huge show. I understand that there is a history of running that place and having moments. This just wasn't one of those events. Other than, again, you can turn around and say that cage match was the event, not only the main event, but also like they did the build throughout the night, showing you cage matches of the past, showing you big moments with Punk and Rollins and their history. And again, the big moment culminating with Roman Reigns making his return. And that got a huge reaction. The cage match itself was great. I know you and SB3 talked about it. Just my quick thoughts was they did a good job of telling an old school style story of, no, you don't want to escape the cage, you coward. You want to pin me. You want to submit me. Like, do it, you know, beat me like a man. Don't escape. Don't leave. Beat me up. They did a good job of telling that story. And then for Roman Reigns to come out, make his return and drag Seth out and make Seth look like the coward while still getting the win. All three of these men are trading victories of some sort going into Mania, which makes this interesting, knowing that Roman Reigns is going to ultimately get the win. But doesn't matter. I like that Roman's back. They told the story of every man hates each other. It used to be everybody hates Seth, but now they're starting to get you into these three men do hate each other for various reasons. So it was good. It was a good cage match. It was a solid cage match. So I liked it. But it was all in service of what the rest of the night was. It wasn't a very strong Raw. You had the cage match, and then I think the EO segment was something that got a lot of people talking because starting to set up a triple threat. But otherwise, Raw was just kind of there. Oh, and Chad Gable was obviously fantastic.
Yeah,
wasn't a mask though. That wasn't him.
I hope they continue with that bit of like it's not Chad Gable underneath the mask. It's just it's a new person every week, and they look different every week too. Like they got Omos underneath the mask one time. You know, Gable comes out there, he does his stuff, and then like they just have Omos backstage as Gable's being accused. He's like, look, that's the dude wearing the mask. Like, Chad, it's a 7-foot Nigerian man. We saw a 5-foot white dude out there. What do you mean? He has the mask. What are you talking about? That'd be a great bit.
That would be fantastic. Chad trying to be like, what are you saying? I don't look like a 7-foot tall black man. Try talking your way out of that one, Kathy Kelly. This is again, little production. It's not even production. It was just little continuity hits that I like. The shoes of all things. I know I'm pointing this out. I don't know if you noticed the shoes that the Lucha Chad was wearing outside. They were very colorful, like red, multicolor, rainbow-esque shoes. And then when they were taking away the same guy in the mask backstage where Chad was giving the interview, he was wearing the same shoes. And it's such a – they could have just done black shoes and been like, no one's going to pay attention to that. But because he had those bright-ass shoes on, I give credit to whoever realized, oh, we got to have the shoes right too, because he wore very specific colored shoes. I get it. This is a very nitpicky thing, but I like when my continuity matches up. So good for that. But again, Son saying due to the American Lucha mask beating up the Mexicans. I said it at the Rumble. It was Chad Gable versus the Mexicans. And he's just doing that. We'll see where it plays out. I like Jeremy's idea of just playing out the bit and making it more absurd every single week to the point where you just don't know who's telling the truth.
They had those masks on sale like 2 seconds after that segment too. Like that's on sale very quickly.
Oh, because he learned from Penta.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention Chelsea Green versus Sol Ruka for the U.S. Women's Championship next week. Unless Chelsea Green gets them to put it away. Not do the match because she's trying to do that on the internet.
Yeah. That'd be fine.
So with Raw at Madison Square Garden and talking about expectations, I will say keep your expectations relatively low for Euro Raw. Not because I think they'll be bad or that I've been told anything, but you know, it's European Raw airing at 3 p.m. on a work day for most people. I love that the show's going to be over by 5:30 Eastern. I'm a big fan of that. You know, we're going to be doing the post shows right after Raw instead of waiting until late. So I know Sean's happy about that. But yeah, Euro Raw is going to be, it'll be fun. Different crowds. It'll be hot. There'll be some good matches. John Cena is going to show up in Brussels because he can't show up in New York. And, you know, good for him. Good for John Cena. He's going to start speaking Belgium. What do they speak in Belgium? French? I think they speak French in Belgium.
You better double check that before you, you know, get accused of not being a cultured man out here.
That's German and French. He's going to come out and speak all three languages.
He might. I don't put it past John Cena to know all of these languages. I think the shows are going to be good, mainly because John Cena is going to be there. Roman's going to be there. Like, the stars are going to be on these shows. And like, it is the road to WrestleMania. Like, they're not playing. I don't think they're mailing in these shows just because they're overseas, because it's not, these aren't throwaway shows in like June or whatever. Like, these are the last few shows before WrestleMania. You can't afford to just be like, oh, it's not live in the US, so we're just going to give them a paint by numbers show. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think the crowd's going to enhance the show because the crowds are going to be hot for all of them. And I think you're going to get some good shows out of it. Again, the star power is going to be there to where it'll dictate it being some pretty good shows.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still curious about whether or not they have the SmackDowns as well internationally airing at those times.
I mean, they do. It's just, it's also airing on Netflix. I mean, it's also airing on USA.
So but Netflix is airing the international feeds as well?
Yeah, Netflix is airing the international shows live.
Wonderful. Very, very happy about that. Graves just mentioned the same thing that I was asking about, because I know that's been a topic of conversation since Raw's on Netflix globally, and you've got the stuff, internationally, you've got NXT and SmackDown added in. Did you see I don't know if you saw this, John Mulaney was on Kimmel and talking about his show. So John Mulaney has a Netflix show and it airs on Wednesdays. Kimmel asked him, why are you airing live on Wednesdays? Why aren't you doing like Friday or any other day? And Mulaney says, well, we wanted to do Friday, but then we were told about the wrestling. So the wrestling airs internationally on the Friday, and that takes up their bandwidth on Netflix. And then he says, I was in my car and I was passing a billboard and I saw a big billboard that said Monday Night Raw. And I guess that airs globally. So that also took away Mondays. So John Mulaney got absolutely jobbed out by wrestling in Netflix. That's why he couldn't do a show on another time.
You've created work for me because I'm going to write an article on that. But
it's on. If you go on my Twitter feed, I posted the video and the timestamp's like 10 minutes into the interview.
Okay. All right, thanks.
It was a very funny little quip, if you want to add that to your workload. I wasn't sure if you had seen it, but also I didn't think many people saw it. And I also posted it at like 6:30 in the morning yesterday because I was up at 5:30.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I'll check it out and get on that.
Let's move over to AEW, and then we can get out of here a little bit early because I know you're not feeling 100%. The AEW International Eliminator has been announced. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? The winner.
Yeah, they announced this thing at like 11 o'clock last night.
Good for them. Winner faces Kenny Omega at AEW Dynasty, which is, that show is very quickly coming up. That's like the first weekend of April, isn't it? April 6th?
Yeah.
Fun. We'll talk about my April soon enough. You're going to have this Wednesday, that's tonight, Orange Cassidy takes on Hechicero, and then Beast Mortos takes on a wild card. Who could it be? Who could it be?
I think Jack. Most people assume it's Speedball.
Speedball versus Orange Cassidy sounds like a fun match.
They don't have any, because they put the little flags on all of this as well, because it's the international title and, you know, no Canadians on this. So that's why another theory that it's Speedball, because why wouldn't you have Canada represented in this international tournament when you've got Mexico, Japan, Australia, and US also represented? So Speedball is probably, it could be Josh Alexander, you know, another Canadian. So yes, I know Kenny is Canadian.
There's your Canadian flag right there, buddy.
Right. But there's no Canadian in the tournament.
I know. But I make the joke because it's funny. It could be Josh Alexander. It could be Speedball. I think the reason people are talking more Speedball is because he's actually had promotional material airing on the program versus Josh Alexander, who has not. So we don't know where he sits. I'd like Josh Alexander to come in as more of a surprise. And in this case, Speedball's already promoted. This is a surprise, but it's we knew he was coming. We just didn't know when.
Speedball and Beast Mortos is like 1,000,000% a Tony Khan match too. He looks at that and he's like, oh yeah, we can fuck with this match. So that also makes me think it's more Speedball than Alexander. Not that he doesn't think that for Alexander and Beast Mortos, but I feel like he thinks it more with Speedball. He looks at Beast Mortos and Alexander and is like, all right, we can like make love with this match. But Speedball and Beast Mortos is like, yeah, we can fuck with this match. You know what I'm saying?
Unfortunately, I do.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that we've seen a Black Taurus versus Speedball match before.
I'm sure we have, but I'm saying we haven't seen it on AEW television, so...
No, I refuse to believe this. Hold on. I'm just checking one. Okay, so there have been two, and they're tag matches. Interesting. Jonathan Gresham and Speedball Mike Bailey defeat Black Taurus and Crazy Steve. This was 2023 on an episode of Impact in Vegas. And then before that, 2015, Speedball teamed up with Murder Clown and Drago to take on El Hijo del Fantasma, which I'm pretty sure is Santos Escobar, El Macias, and Taurus, who's Black Taurus. It was Beast Mortos. They had a trios match in Triple A in 2015, and Taurus won. So that's so random. I could have sworn that they had a match.
You just assumed that like TNA booked it at some point.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I'd assume because that's a match that people would want to see.
That's what I'm saying. That's why Tony Khan, he saw it and he's like, wait, nobody's done this. Nobody has fucked with this match. We are going to fuck tonight on AEW Dynamite with Speedball Mike Bailey and the Beast Mortos.
I mean, kudos to Tony. If somebody told him or he figured it out himself that this never happened, he should be taking advantage.
Tony was definitely on Cage Match Googling that shit.
I think so. Or Will brought it to his attention. It's one of those. Those two have incredible minds for this shit when it comes to just the retention of what happened when. That's Tony Schiavone, sorry. And then on Collision, the Dynasty International Championship Eliminator Tournament continues with Katsuyori Shibata taking on Ricochet and then Mark Briscoe taking on Mark Davis. Oh, Battle of the Marks.
It feels like they're setting up either Ricochet or Speedball to win this tournament and face Kenny. Ricochet makes the most sense because here's the thing is they're doing like a four-way match next week on Dynamite. So the four winners face in a four-way on Dynamite. And then so you've got a couple weeks to build. So it's, do you think that's enough time to like give a strong build to Kenny and Ricochet? Or do you just go kind of more dream match route of Speedball and Kenny? Because Kenny and Ricochet has some legs to it as a feud, especially this version of Ricochet. So I don't know if they want to immediately go to, oh, we're just going to do it where Ricochet gets the match off of a tournament victory. But you can heat that up very quickly on television and then do the match. And I'm sure they want to do Kenny and Ricochet. So it feels like Ricochet is going to win this thing. And then you can, on top of the tournament victory, there's enough character work between both of them to where they can heat it up further past, oh, I just won a tournament.
So yes, but you got to take two things into account. One, I'm not a big fan personally of having Ricochet lose a match to Swerve in a number one contendership and then, yes, win a tournament, but then face Kenny Omega and lose again. To me, that's a little... I personally don't like that. I think it kind of defines Ricochet down a little bit when you do that. That's my opinion. I know that as a character, he has built enough that he can come back from it.
But he's going to lose.
I'd rather have him lose in a four-way match. I'd rather have him... Yeah.
Well, is the four-way elimination? Because then he's going to take a pin in that.
They're just calling it a four-way eliminator, which doesn't mean anything other than it eliminates the other three from contention.
Oh, okay.
Now, on the other hand, the tried and true, not necessarily successful, AEW debut is typically Stardom Hot. win a tournament, have a big moment, challenge for a title, lose, and then back of the line or redefine yourself somehow. Fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to see it, that is typically how they bring in the big signees. So Speedball coming in and winning this, having a banger of a match against Kenny, Kenny wins, they shake hands, then it's up to Speedball to basically keep himself in the conversation and creative as well. That's typically the Tony MO. So if it is Speedball, it is the wild card, then him winning just happens. And he goes all the way.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's Ricochet. It could be. I think it's Ricochet or Speedball, regardless. Those are the two I'm looking at. I think Ricochet, there's a little bit more meat as a match if that's where they go. But if they just want to go, hey, you want a tournament, you get a title shot, now let's do a cool match, Speedball is a easy way to do that.
Looking at this match, did we do 2-on-2 in the four-way in terms of baby faces and heels? So Orange Cassidy, wild card, we're assuming a Speedball, Ricochet and Mark Davis, or does Mark Briscoe come into this thing?
I think Mark Briscoe beats Mark Davis, and you just do Orange Cassidy and Speedball. You just go with that match. It's fine. It's a tournament.
Yeah. I could see even do it, them moving to Ricochet and Orange Cassidy as a feud.
Yeah, that's possible. You know,
and then the conglomeration versus the Don Callis family because of the Davis and Briscoe stuff.
Man, I hope not. The conglomeration doesn't exist. I still don't get why they don't do more with Mark Briscoe. I really don't. He should be a dude that connects a lot of stuff instead of a dude that just floats and has a fake connection to a lot of stuff. I look at Mark Briscoe as like a Sami Zayn type guy. You can slot him up and down the card anywhere you want him to be as a baby face, and he's going to make it work, and he's going to get people invested, and it's going to be good. And instead they just have him in random matches, and they're just like, hey, go say funny stuff. Go do your word of the day. Go get paired with random people until we find something for them to do, but not for you. It's just, I just wish they would do more with Mark Briscoe. That's all.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. He's very versatile, but they clearly don't see him right now as more than what he's been doing, which is just slotted and put into positions, but never pulled the trigger. So that's kind of where we're at with him. What else is going on in this show?
Kenny Omega speaks and MJF speaks. That's it.
And then those two matches that they've announced. Is that really it? We're coming off of a pay-per-view. I really shouldn't be surprised. That's just kind of what they...
And Tony said that like people are banged up coming out of the pay-per-view. So there might have been...
I wonder why. Sorry.
You know, there might have been some plans that they wanted to do, not quite able to do because they're trying to make sure guys are okay. But yeah, it's we don't know what the status of John Moxley is. He might be, you know, decimated out there. So yeah,
we'll see. I mean, Dynamite's coming out of pay-per-views are typically like this. They don't always have a full schedule of stuff announced, and then they end up putting on a pretty good show. So looking forward to Dynamite tonight. Only last thing I have to talk about, which isn't really much, was Swerve confirming he's under AEW contract till 2029. Makes sense that he had signed a 5-year deal then last year. So there you go. That was on the Bootleg Kev podcast, put that out there. So there's that news, which makes sense. Again, Swerve has been highly featured, highly promoted, seen a huge upswing in his work. So clearly he's happy where he's at. Good for him. Shall we get out of here? Go back to bed.
Yeah.
Anything to plug?
No, I apologize everybody that I was late and that I'm ending the show early. Once I get going, like I feel a little bit better. It takes me a second to get going. And I've slept so awful the past couple of nights, but I'll be here tomorrow. Maybe we'll see.
I'll be on standby just in case.
All right.
just for you. Go do whatever you want to do. Just be good to people. Be good to each
Temptation
other.
Temptation Island, everybody. Watch go the watch. Temptation Island. Or don't. I don't or care. Don't. Or don't. That's what I'm watching. Watch Dynamite. Don't watch Dynamite. Don't care.
Just go enjoy your day. For Jeremy Lambert, I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.